So, you know, this is Passion, leading up to Passion Week. I wasn't really, I started some messages in Nanuet, and I was really strongly impressed to do it, and I'm also impressed to do this today. This message is entitled, it's actually part of some messages called The Voice of Faith, and this message is called Get a Grip on Your Lip. And so I think a lot of times we think that things just happen, and they do happen. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about was the motto of the church, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And a lot of times we just think, oh, isn't that wonderful? That's a nice motto and all of that. But I think we have to step back and look at, why did God give that motto? Or let me just step back and even step back further. Why does God direct anything? Why does he speak to you to do something? Because he's looking for you to believe what he said to you. And to do what? Voice it, to speak it. He wants to work through that, the words that you've spoken by faith. If he gave it to you, then that's something that you need to speak and profess. And so it's the same thing where prophecies and things, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear me highlight prophecies and prophetic words that have been spoken. Those things were given to this ministry for a purpose. Now, we may not understand or see all of it immediately or initially, but God wants us to voice what he has given us. He wants us to speak it. And so it's the same thing. If you have children, you speak what? You speak words about them or over them. You don't go around saying, you don't speak negative. You speak words. And if God speaks something to you about your child and says, they're going to do such and such, then you need to voice that. Because he's looking for a voice in the earth. And I think this is why sometimes we just get excited about prophecies that have been spoken and then we don't voice them. We don't speak them. And it's the same thing with the things, the model that was given to this church. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't see that going on here. Well, then it won't happen for you. Because Jesus, all throughout his ministry, said, be it unto you according to your faith. So he's looking for faith-filled words to be spoken over things that he's spoken about this church. And so if you want to see where the love of God is evident, then that means there has to be some what? Belief that I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to act in love. And if everybody believes it, then it is a place where the love of God is evident. But if everybody don't believe it, guess what? It doesn't happen. And it's the same thing where the word of God is taught. You know, we have to believe it's the place where the word of God is taught. And the Spirit of God is directing. It first starts with what? Us. And where the power of God is manifested. And if anybody is part of this church, you can say, it can be a personal profession of faith, this is a place, meaning me, this is a place where the love of God is evident. This is a place where the word of God is taught. I'm going to think the word of God, speak the word of God. This is a place where he directs me. And this is a place where the power of God is manifested. Where? Through me. So it's not just, oh, it's a nice prophecy that was spoken over the ministry. If you're part of this ministry, then it's personal. And you need to profess it. You need to say it. I walk in the love of God. I'm directed by the Spirit of God. I speak the Word of God, and the power of God operates in and through me. See, if everybody thinks that and talks that, to me, it's almost like, you know, what happened with the power, with the Tower of Babel. They all spoke the same thing. So I just share that. He gives things to us to be spoken, to be uttered. And we have to watch what we say. And so that's why, you know, I'm one for believing and speaking. If you want a successful year, you want a prosperous year, then you need to believe it and speak it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's my expectation. It's the evidence of things not seen. So I believe 2023 is my best year. I believe 2023 is my most prosperous year, my most healthy year. 2023 is my best year. Well, I said that last year. Well, this year is better. It's my best year. And you need to say that. Because when you begin to say it, God can then open doors for that to be fulfilled. Amen. So Isaiah 55, verse 11, familiar verse, it says, so shall my word be that what? Goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not what? Return void or empty, or you could say without power. He said, but it shall what? Accomplish what I please, that which I please, and it shall what? Prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So he spoke that. You know, when we talk about confession, you know, if you were brought up like me, I was brought up and raised in a Catholic church. You know, when you said confession, that carried a meaning with that, you know. You said, oh, and I ain't going to confession. I ain't doing that. Because what did it really mean? Confession in that setting meant you were confessing all the bad things you did. So there was never anything that said, we're going to confess something good, something that's in my covenant, in my redemptive covenant or redemptive rights. So we never thought about that. But confession always precedes possession. Just even in the natural, your confession precedes possession. So confession, you could say, is faith's way of expressing itself. So in other words, faith must be voiced. Faith must be voiced. So in other words, if your thinking is wrong, you've heard these things before, if your thinking is off or wrong, then your believing can be off or wrong. And then what? Your actions are off and your confession is off. So you're going to speak what you believe on, what you believe, and what you believe is what you've been meditating on. So if what you're thinking and meditating on is off, then your believing is off and your confession is off. So that's why it's so important to feed on the Word of God. So Hebrews 3:1, and it says, in the King James, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of what? The holy calling, heavenly calling, consider. I like to stop and read words sometimes and look them up, but it says, consider the apostle and high priest of what? Our profession, Christ Jesus. Well, consider doesn't mean, well, I'll see if I want to, you know, how we say, well, you know, if you were go with somebody and said, I want to do this, what is usually sometimes the response? I'll consider it. Well, that's not really what this means. If you look it up, it means, and listen to it more in the Passion Translation, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts. That doesn't sound like considering. It says, so fasten your thoughts fully onto Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king priest. So this word, consider, really means to esteem. It means to regard it. It means to take this and fix your thoughts and your attention on it. Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us do what? Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And if you look up this word faith, and it's interesting, sometimes we need to look it up, because I'll just share quickly. If you look up Hebrews 10:23, we should probably, Minister Joe, we should probably get them using eSword, right? Because then they can look it up with a click of a button. And faith, see, there's a different meaning. It's not this word. It says here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. This word faith is not pistis. It's actually the word expectation. So what are you professing about what you expect? And what does it say? Hold fast to it. It says, hold fast the confession or profession of your faith. That word faith is expectation. It's the same Greek word that's used in Hebrews 11:1 when it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hope is the same Greek word as this word faith. It's expectation. Alpis. It's correct. It's to expect. I'm professing what I expect. And that's why God is looking for us to hold fast the profession of your expectation. Do you expect to prosper regardless of what you see or have? Do you expect to walk in healing regardless of whether you see it or not? You profess it. Do you profess that I walk in love regardless of whether you do or not? You profess it. You profess that God leads you. I mean, all of these things. When Leanne Sozeby was here, she shared the revelation she received. She kept saying, God, you don't speak to me, you don't direct me. She was already a graduate of Rhema, you know, and she just didn't have that insight. And the Holy Ghost said to her, you're calling me a liar. And she said, yeah, but you don't speak to me, I don't know you. And he said, go over, and he said, read this over here. I sent the Holy Ghost, said, those that are my children know me. Well, I don't know. You're calling me a liar. So then she had to change her profession and say, Lord, I just thank you. She just made that adjustment. She said, thank you, Lord. I know you. She said, I didn't feel I knew him. I professed it. And I began to know him more intimately in degrees. I know you, Lord. I see you. I know you. You're so real to me that you're more real than this room that I'm in. I know you. So you profess, hold fast the profession of your faith or what your expectation is. I expect to know him. I expect for him to lead me. I expect to see things by the Spirit. And I'm going to profess that. I'm not going to profess what I don't have. I'm going to profess what I expect. I expect him to lead me. I expect him to work through me. I expect the power of God to operate through me by his Spirit. And I'm going to profess that. And keep professing it. And that's really what God is looking for. He's looking for us to profess something that he's promised us. He promised us to lead us. He promised us to work in and through us, and we need to profess it. Hold fast. Hold fast the profession of your faith. So what are we really saying? Faith is acting like the Bible is true. You're acting like it's true. You're speaking as if. And that's really what that word is when you say profession. That word is homologia. It just means to speak as if. You're professing something as if. You're saying the same thing. What am I saying? I'm saying the same thing that God has said. I know him. I know his Spirit. You know, your head will go out. Your head will go, but that doesn't make any sense. We're talking about spiritual things. They're not going to make sense to your natural mind. You've got to say it because you believe it. How many are married? You've had to say, I love someone to someone, but you didn't feel it or it didn't make sense at the time. Maybe something was going on in your mind and flesh, and you had to say, I love you to the other person, but you didn't feel it or think it. But your heart said, I love the person. Right? Thank you. Because I'm going to pray for liars. Because everyone in here that has a spouse, has had to do that. And if you can do that for natural things, how much more can we hold fast the profession of something that God has said? How much more? How much more? Why? Because God has sealed something in his blood. Well, what have we been sharing? In him we have something from God that's promised us, a relationship with God. And he lives in us by his Spirit, and he leads me, he directs me, he speaks to me, he warns me, he's my helper. We have to think, Brother Hagin would say this, never talk defeat, never talk lack. Don't say, I can't do that, I don't have that. You know, this past week, Gee shared something that I thought, you know what, this is so profound. He said, even though we're traveling, he was sharing, you know, they live in Dallas, they have a nice house. He said, we are always on the road with our daughter. She's 4, and she's amazing for 4 years old. But he said, we slept in our house for the whole year 18 times. The rest of the year, we were traveling. and our daughter was traveling with them. So that's what we've committed. And he was sharing at the marriage seminar that when he knew that Ilke, and he shared how he met her and all of that, and he was, you know, he was a single guy. He's from Cameroon. And he said, you know, God had called him to minister. And he said, I was enjoying single life. And his pastor, who was Mark Hankins' brother, it was his pastor for many years, just he went to heaven recently. And he said, hey, you know, could you drive me somewhere? And he's like, I'm tired, man. I don't wanna. And he said, I did it anyways. And he said, through that, there was this whole series of connections when he ended up meeting his wife, who was a translator for him, and all of this. But he shared that before they got married, he said, look, I want, he said, I told her, this is my life. This, I travel. This is God has called. And if you're not in sync with that, if you're not in agreement with that, then we can't, you know, let's end it. And of course she was, because she said she was a missionary's daughter and, you know, so forth. But they were sharing how she's very budget minded. And so he said, I wanted an Escalade. That I like, he's 6'7", so he needs a big car. And so he said, I wanted a Cadillac Escalade. And she said, we're no. That's not in our budget. You know, I mean, you're talking $80,000, $90,000 or whatever. And she said, that's not in our budget. And he said, well, praise God, I believe I get an Escalade. Didn't bother him. He said, thank God, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. And that went on for some time. And he said he was at a meeting. And this guy called him up and said, hey, he said, I want you. He said, I want to give you a car. He said, go pick out the car you want. I'll pay for it. He went to the dealer, got a brand new Escalade paid for. He didn't have to spend a dime for it. God blessed him through a businessman. And so that's why I say, don't ever say, I can't do this. I can't afford this. I can't own this. When you're doing God's work and you profess something, he will see to it that you have it. And sometimes we just let go of things too quick and we give up. We stop saying things. I'm telling you. So our words and our faith must be connected. Faith is what? Voice activated. So what have we always shared? Our walk, we walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. So one of the things here that I was thinking about is, God will not move your mouth. He's not going to move your mouth. He gave you a mouth. He will reveal things to you. He will inspire you. He will stir you. But he's not moving your mountain. You've got to move it with your words. Yes, he's the power. He's the one that will move it. But he won't move your mouth. He's not moving it. And your mouth is the key. Mouth is the key. So again, faith is voice activated. We're made in his image and likeness. James 4:7. Submit yourself, this is the King James. Submit yourself, therefore, to who? To God. And then what else does it say? Resist. Resist who? Resist people? No, resist the devil. And what? He will flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This Greek word for flee is to move your feet as fast as you can move them. Rick Renner was sharing this recently. He said that Greek word means to move your, that word flee is to move your feet as fast as you can move them. Who's moving their feet as fast as they can move them? The devil is. It said he will flee from you or flee from you. So it also means to run as if in terror when you resist him. If you don't resist him, he will push you all over the place. He will push. He will push you around as long as you are willing to be pushed around. He will push you around as long as you're willing to be pushed around. The devil will push you around where? In your health. He'll push you around in your emotions. He will push you around in your marriage. But the moment you submit yourself, therefore, to who? To God, and say what? That's enough. In Jesus' name, he will flee from you. This is the part of walking in the authority that's been given you. Listen, this is... Remember, I said this before. You are what? Seated, and he's defeated. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. He's defeated. This is the Barclay translation, James 4:7. That's why I like to read different translations. This says, so then accept the authority of God. Take a stand against the devil, and he will run away from you. See, when that says, it says, when the King James, it just says, submit yourself therefore to God. This says, so then take the authority of God. That's a little different. So then accept the authority of God, take a stand against the devil, and he will run away from you. Proverbs 18:20-21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Passion Translation, it says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. 2 Timothy 1:7, this is the King James. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. Kenneth Copeland said this many years ago. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Proverbs, this is the King James, Proverbs 22:18. In the King James, it says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. This is, well, let me back up to 17 and 18. It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. I like this. This is the Amplified Classic. If you have that, you can look at that. 17 and 18. It says, listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. So those things that you remember what we said, those things you think about, meditate on, you're going to be more accustomed to speaking them. And what he's saying is here is keep his words in your mind. Apply them. Act upon them. And he said, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. Proverbs 6:2. These are all similar scriptures. It says in the King James, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. The Amplified Classic, it says, you are snared with the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your mouth. So you're ensnared or you're caught by your words. It can create a snare for us. Brother Hagin used to say this when he was alive, if you don't like what you have in life, check out what you're saying. If you don't like what you have in life, check on what you're saying with your words. What they say keeps them captive. You know, what's interesting is you begin to see the trap of the devil. The devil uses people to suppress or subvert other people. To hurt them, to subvert them, to oppress them. And he uses people to do that. And then those people that are oppressed begin to say things that keep them oppressed. Because it builds a fence. And then it opens the door for the oppressor to keep oppressing. Not saying any of it's right, but you can see how the devil hates people. And he'll take these things and he'll use people to oppress people, and then the oppressed people begin to say things that ensnare them. And this is why I'm so excited about Pastor Enrique going into some of the Spanish communities, because sometimes their life has been ensnared because of circumstances, but they can come out of that by saying the right things. And they can end up with opportunities that others won't because of their words. And I'm excited about it. Because God never said, you know, only this group of people can prosper. He shed his blood for all who call him Lord. You know, James chapter 3, you know, it talks about the tongue. And this is the New Living Translation in verse 6. It says, and among all the parts of the body, this is James 3:6 in the New Living. It says, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. So that means you can set your life going in the wrong direction by what you say. This is why when it tells that the rudder in the ship can turn that ship even with fierce winds, it can get the ship going in a direction. So that means with all that's going on, you can set the course of your life to go in a prosperous direction, even with everything against you. You can set the direction of your life. Yeah, I mean, there's some other translations that says, with your own words, you get trapped. In basic English, it said, the words of your mouth have defeated you. So your own words can bring defeat or they can bring prosperity. 1 Timothy 1:18, and this scripture excites me, is Paul talking about his son Timothy and giving him some charges here. And 1 Timothy, this is in the King James, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. I'll wait till you get there because I'd like you to see it. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. It's up on the screen here. According to what? The prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by what? Them what? The prophecies, thou mightest war a good warfare. That's why it's so important that if words are spoken over you and they're sound words, you will do what? He said here, Paul is saying to Timothy, fight a good warfare with those prophecies that have been spoken over you. You decree them. You give them voice in the earth. And God said, I'll watch over them to bring them to pass. They won't return void unto me. But listen to some of these other translations. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, this is the charge which I entrust to you, my son Timothy, in accordance with the inspired instructions concerning you which were given me long ago, that being equipped with them as your armor, you may be continually fighting the good fight. Boy, I'm telling you, that is exciting. Yeah. Now, this is the Good News translation. I don't think you have that. I think we have the Weymouth, but the Good News, I don't think we have that. Timothy, my child, I entrust to you this command, which is in accordance with the words of prophecy spoken in the past about you. Use those words as weapons in order to fight well. So when the devil says, oh no, you'll never do that. Oh yes, I will. I'm going to do this. God has called me to do X, Y, Z. He has anointed me to do X, Y, Z. You fight a good fight. What do you fight? Fear and every other kind of evil thought that comes to your mind and all of the things that come. I will do this. And you're professing those words that have been spoken over you. And I would even go as far as this. What does 2 Peter 1:9 say? We have also what? A more sure word of what? Prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. So even if you can't stand here and say, well, so-and-so prophesied this over me, I have a more sure word of what? Prophecy. And I'm to do what? Use those to wage war. That's why God wants his body to speak what's been written. Speak the covenant. Speak the word. Speak those things that he has spoken. That's homologia. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Don't waver. I'm going to read those again. They're just so powerful to me. The Weymouth translation, we can put that up again. This is the charge which I entrust to you, my son Timothy, in accordance with the inspired instructions concerning you, which were given me long ago. So this is Paul saying, I had these instructions concerning you, that being equipped with them as your armor, you may be continually fighting the good faith. That's why for me, prophecies that have been spoken over this ministry, prophecies that have been spoken to me directly by other ministers, I use that as a tool, as an armor to fight with. When you have doubt in your mind or fear in your mind, you fight with that. You say, no, God has spoken this. This shall come to pass. God is working in me to fulfill this. You may not see all of it. You may not feel all of it. You may not even understand all that's been spoken to you. But you wage a good fight with that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 10:35. What does it say? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The Amplified Classic, it says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. The Passion Translation, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. So we don't talk lack. We don't talk defeat. We wage a good warfare with the prophecies that have been spoken over us, to us, and we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's why when people laugh, I just say, Jesus is coming soon. He wants that voiced to remind people that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And your good works are not going to get you into heaven. His eternal life will. Hallelujah. So what do you fight? What is your armor? You're equipped with what? Prophecies, or a more sure word of prophecy. You could say this, you're winning this fight with what? Words. You're winning a war of words. Words that may be spoken to you. That's why I was excited to hear, what Guy shared. He wasn't moved by not having something. His heart was, he desired that car. And he just kept busy, and still, they leave this, when is it? Not this week. Yeah, this coming week. They're leaving for Johannesburg. They'll be over there for, a week or two, and then they come back again. So, they're traveling. They're doing the Lord's work. And God, Pastor Clinton used to say it all the time, God supports what he authorizes. Supports what he authorizes. Glory to God. Praise God. So let's make that profession. Let's say that God is working in me. He leads me. He directs me. He's speaking to me. I know him. He is my Father. Glory to God. I mean, you fill in your own profession, but say something. Write it down. Profess it every day. And the best time to profess it is when you don't feel it, you can't see it, it doesn't look like it's happening. Those are the times to profess it even more. You say, no, God leads me. He directs me. You know, Brother Hagin would say this. He said, a lot of times, God is leading you and you don't even realize it. There's no sense or feeling that he's leading you, and you get to your destination, you go, oh my God, I couldn't have. That's like Pastor Enrique was telling me. He said, you couldn't have even figured this out or dreamed it up. How would you even have done that? So God is, he's leading us, he's directing us, and we need to profess that and say it, that he is leading me, he is guiding me. He's thinking through me. He's working through me. His power operates in me. You know, sometimes we need to, when we're with people and people are having challenges in their body, step out sometime and just say, do you mind if I pray with you? Most people say yes. No, I don't mind you praying for me. Just step out. I mean, just you know, I always say, take a chance. You'd be surprised. People are more open to the gospel and more open to prayer these days than you realize. People are open. And people are looking for answers in life. You know, Minister Esmond was sharing a story with me. He said, you know, he was at the gym at like 5:30, 6 in the morning. And he was, you know, doing his thing with his weights and all of that. And he said, you know, I made a commitment to get up early and go. And he said, there was this guy, said, I didn't even engage in a conversation. And the guy was like, I got to go, you know. And he started a conversation with him, this other guy. And he said he looked like he might have been Dominican, you know, he's just from his features. And he got into a conversation with him, and he started spilling, as they say, spilling his whole life. Just stuff. He's a sergeant in the NYPD, and he was all of his life and the troubles and all of this. And Minister Esmond said, I didn't engage it. He was like, I gotta go, and you know, and he was kind of like taking a big deep breath and all of that. Young guy, he said, it was like 39, and just weighed down with life. And problems and stuff and looking for an answer. And then that interesting, you know, either an angel or the Holy Ghost nudged him to just express himself. And Minister Esmond said, and he's engaged in a conversation. And so out of that, he said he connected with him the next day, said, hey, we're having these meetings. And then he said, hey, he said he gave them Pastor Enrique because he's Spanish, and he said, hey, maybe you want to talk to him. He was having some marriage difficulties and all of this just stuff. Job, family, kids, all of it. Problems. He's looking for an answer. And he told him, he said, hey, you know, he gave him a link I don't know if you saw Ilke taught a message on Tuesday night. Do yourself a favor. Did anybody listen to it? Huh? Tuesday night. Oh no, it was Monday night. It was Monday night. She didn't teach Tuesday. It was Monday night. I'm sorry, it was Monday night. We re-aired it again. I told her, I said, that was one of the most simple, profound messages I've heard. And she was talking, you know, when we were when she started teaching, I'm like, where is she going with this? You know, it was like, oh, you know, I'm going to the pool, and Gee, you gotta take Destiny to the pool and this. And so she had some little tie wrap that she wanted to cut, and Gee said, well, I got these little scissors, and she started to cut, and she jammed the scissor into her finger. And she said it was deep, and she said it started to bleed, and it bled all over the place. She said, I put a towel around it at the pool. I went to the pool. I didn't want to, you know, exhibit to Destiny that there was any problem, so I wrapped my finger, and it's bleeding all over the place. The towel's all bloody and blah, blah, blah. And so she was going, I was like, where's she going with this? And then she said, a lot of times we have been cut deep and we're bleeding all over people that never cut us. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was a deep message. She said, people have cut you and you're bleeding on people that never cut you. It was a powerful message. You go back and listen to it. It was powerful. It's on the front page of our website. You can see her message, or you can go back on Facebook and look at it. But it got me, and Minister Esmond gave this, the reason I'm sharing that, Minister Esmond gave this sergeant, this young police officer, he gave him the link. He said, here, let me text you. They traded phone numbers. He said, let me send you this link. He said, you need to listen to this. So when we find ourselves in places, share something that can help them. Pray with them, share a message. But it was a powerful message. Very powerful. And that's what she was saying. You need to heal up, let it go. Stop bleeding. Heal. Stop bleeding. You know, whatever, whoever hurt you, could have been, you know, your father, your mother, your spouse, you know, whatever, a job, whatever it is, heal and stop bleeding. It was really, really a good message. You get something out of it. Praise God. Amen. So God is good, and we're going to do great things this year. It's going to be our best year. Going to be an awesome year. Yeah. Going to be an awesome year. So praise God. Father, we just thank you today. We open our hearts up and receive what you've shared. We thank you that you direct our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and you delighteth in our way. And we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit directs us. Thank you that the love of God is working in us. Thank you that the Word of God is working in us. Thank you that you are directing us every step of our life. And we thank you that the power of God is working in us. And we thank you, Father, for using us this week. Thank you. Direct us to people that might need our help or need, you know, that are crying out to you. Direct us across their paths, Father. Wherever we are, on our job, in the store, in a gym, wherever we are, Father, use us to help people that are hurting, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.